Good morning, my friends. Melanie, Marie-Pierre, I think I'm going to take longer. Like, there's so much passion in me right now that the danger is that I'm going to overtake my time. So I just want to share with you, I'm very, very excited. None of you saw the live yesterday. When I do my conditioning program and I write down my five big goals, for 2024, and for those that have been working for me for a long time, I'm like Caesar. If it is said, it shall be done. Maybe Melanie, it's not even Caesar that says that, but anyways, okay. If it is said, it shall be done. Anyways, so I added for a while now to have an animal sanctuary. I wouldn't say a refuge, but I see it more like an animal sanctuary. Can you hear me, Marie-Pierre, or there's something wrong with my sound? It's good? Okay, because I can't hear you. Unmute yourself. You're making me these signs. You think it's charades?
Your camera. She's too high.
Oh, she's too high. Oh, thank God I have you, eh? She's too high. Oh, but yeah, I see the, and now? Ah, thank you. You know, when you see a friend with a piece of food on the corner of their mouth, you got to tell them, okay? Don't pretend it's not there or on the tip of their nose. You got to tell them. You got some schnozola going on. Clean it off. All right. So that being said, what I wrote down is an animal sanctuary. I don't want it to be just a rescue. I want it to be a sanctuary because there are some animals that nobody will ever want, right, Melanie? There are some animals that just people won't. So I want it to be a sanctuary. And of course, a rescue, the in-between, repositioning the animals. So anyways, I'm so emotionally excited this morning because it comes to you. When you are loud about what you feel in your heart that you need to do, God will find a way. So I always say, if you don't know what you want, how can the universe help you? Okay. And this, and Monique, again, thank you Wednesday night on your clarity. You have to work every day. What is my goal today? You have to work with every week. What is my goal this week? Every month, what is my goal? And all three simultaneously. And Monique, you saw the power, of the right now passionate goal, dividing it. And then it comes to you. What you need to do comes to you. So it came to me. Doesn't Costa, the guy you all went, for those that went and have the supper, experienced supper, Greek supper, we went to his restaurant. Costa posts on Facebook. He has this cat in his backyard and he doesn't know who it belongs to. Does anybody want the cat? Right away, I jump. So opportunity presents itself to you. Will you jump? Because sometimes you say you want things, but then when opportunity presents to you, you don't jump. So right away I jumped and, I'll spare you the details. Just follow the lives. You'll understand more of the details. And I really, really believe, that anything we want, you will have provided you will be rigorous enough to make it happen. So I didn't read the chapter with Melanie and Marie-Pierre. I had to do it on my own. I was going and rescue a cat, right? Okay. So I get to the office this morning, of course, late because, I have all these things to do, making sure that this cat gets to Lily Bergeron's clinic. By the way, she's the best vet I know. She's just incredibly incredible. So I get to the office. I'm doing it on my own. And I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, the subject, rigorous, not ruthless. My friends, welcome to this incredible podcast because I can tell you a lot about rigorous versus ruthless and how people perceive you that aren't rigorous. You see, it's so much more comfortable for people to say they're so ruthless. I don't want to be like them. Oh, so I don't know what Melanie Miller's take is going to be, but I'm going to give Melanie my take on my own life and how you are always misperceived by the weak. Okay, that's how I'm going to put it. Now, remember, I don't wrap up my words in some fancy silk cloth. I'm very dry because I want to make sure I attract the right people or the people like that. But don't worry, Melanie has more of an iron. She's not any softer. She's English. So she just knows how to put a velvet glove over the hammer. That's the only difference. So Marie-Pierre, before I dive in with all my love and all my passion, please tell them to share and talk about our contest.
Yes. Okay. So when you share, if you're on Podbean or on Facebook, you will see at the bottom of your screen where you write your comment. Just beside, you will see the arrow so you can share. And Maria prepared for us this morning the text so you can just copy paste with all the hashtag when you share on every social media platform. So if you are on Podbean, you will share everywhere on social media, but you can also share by text message and by Messenger. And if you are on Facebook, you can share everywhere on Facebook and also by Messenger. So if you have someone that you want to make sure that they will listen to the podcast, the best way is to send them by text message or by Messenger. And then we have our contest for the month of April. So we have a few days left for you to participate in all the contests. First, when you contribute on our Facebook group, so when you post, when you put a reaction, a comment, you will be in the draw to win the accessory bag Les Millionnaires des Diamants. And our top five will get the new notebook Les Millionnaires des Diamants. And our top five month to date, we have Joanne Corbeil, Dani Chartrand, Louise Gauthier, Lise Boucher, and Kendra Seffingersall, number one month to date. So yes, of course you have until the end of the month to be in the top, so you can still be in the top five to get the notebook. And then for everyone who invites someone new to the group, or for everyone who joined the group during the month, you will be in the draw for another accessory bag. And then we have our boutique Les Millionnaires des Diamants, our Shopify. So when you place your order, take a picture, post it on the group, and when you receive your order, again, take pictures, post it, and you will be in the draw for an accessory bag. And last one, and you have a lot of opportunity to go post, is with our books, Les Millionnaires des Diamants. So when you receive your book, you receive your agenda, your workbook, your quiz book, everything, take pictures. When you use it, take picture, post it, and tag Maria Mereno, tag Les Millionnaires des Diamants, and you will be in the draw to win the accessory bag too. So that's all our contests. We have a lot of draw to do next week.
No, but Marie-Pierre, did you see Kendra, guys? Merci, Joanne. Thank you, Lise, because it's all your encouraging. You know, you're all like people who stick together. The right people on the bus, the right people on the bus. And you see, all of you are pushing each other to level up. And as you post these beautiful thoughts, these beautiful documents, guess who you're helping? You're helping yourself. All right. So for over four decades in my multi-level marketing industry, I have been seen, not sometimes, but a lot of times, as a top leader. Right, Melanie? Melanie, just for fun, open your mic. Just share with them how sometimes the outside world sees Maria Mariano, and you know me well, okay?
Yes, well, sometimes Maria has a habit of expressing what she expects from her people and how she would like us to work and the things she would like us to do. And some people, instead of understanding that's part of Maria's rigorous way of working and she's encouraging us to do it, they see it that she's like trying to whip us along to do things and be ruthless, and that she's only doing it for her own gain, whereby a complete contrast, everything that Maria does is to help us to be better at what we are doing.
Thank you, Melanie. And you know what I've realized over the years that had to stop bothering me, because I wouldn't have lasted 40 years. I said, anyways, those judging me that way simply because I know, and I'm putting a mirror and I'm showing them that they're not rigorous enough. They're talented, but unfortunately with that rigor, you don't get anywhere. That's what they don't like. So they'd rather say, I don't want to be like Maria. And that's so fitting for everybody. You know, you don't have money and you say things like, oh, money is not important. Well, I've never heard anybody that really has money to say money's not important. Because Melanie Miller, you have money. You know how much of a difference you can make, you know, stress-free. And you've been on the other side where money was kind of paycheck to paycheck. And if I had to choose between no money and money, those that have lived both, you know you would always choose over money. But here's the truth. Great companies aren't harsh. They are just incredibly dedicated to excellence. Now, for those that know me well, you know I'm not just like this in my Tupperware business. I have the same behavior when with my family. If I receive my family, I don't care whether I'm in an SFL, there's nothing that will be half-assed job. There are no round corners cut, you know? So my sister said to me Saturday, you think the fruit was necessary? Like, to me, I couldn't even conceive justifying cutting something because I'm in an SFL. And that's what bothers people. You understand? Because when you're a human being like me, surrounded by people that cut corners, I'm very disturbing. I disturb. I'm a shift disturber. Like, you know, even if I don't say anything, okay, calm down. You don't have to go that far. Why am I going to calm down? To make you comfortable? No. Okay. So we're not ruthless. They're rigorous. And we believe in getting the right people on board, people who are ready to work hard and commit. This is why there's always a part of the meeting where I speak, not too much because then we'd lose everybody, but just enough to attract the right people. Because I'm very like, if you're ambitious and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and if you make your bed and if you, okay, so I go get those people, but then I have to shut up because then we would lose everybody. So I don't talk more than 15 minutes. And Melanie, it's enough during a meeting, right? Okay. So I want you to imagine a bus, not just any bus, but a bus going straight to success. To ride this bus, you need more than just a ticket. You need the drive. You need the discipline and the ability to stick to a strict schedule. Now, when I recruit people like this, Melanie Miller is one of them. Here she is 17 years later, still a success story at the Diamonds. Do you understand me, guys, what I'm talking about? This is what I'm talking about. Well, you can develop that. Absolutely, you can develop it. But you have to have the drive. You have to be motivated. I can't instill in you the drive. I'm a great coach and a great mentor, but I can't make you driven. I can't motivate you. I can sustain it. I can nourish it. Right? So it's not about being harsh. It's about making sure that everyone is prepared for the ride. I'm very honest. I'm very transparent. I never said to anybody, join our company and you're going to make money without any effort. Any money? No. You know, every 10 fams, you get one. I'm very clear about it. And let's take Ed Sheeran, for example. And Marie-Pierre, if you can help me to find that reel, and I would love to post it on the Millionaire of the Diamonds. I loved it. He was sharing in an interview that at age 14, his first song didn't even sound great. And then, you know, you can go hear it on YouTube. He was horrible, horrible. I'm an Ed Sheeran fan, by the way. And he shares this. So he said, when I saw that, I dedicated 4 solid years to honing my skill, to balancing his sound, mastering his instrument. And at 18, 4 years later, he had something that was okay. Because people think Ed Sheeran was born. No. And you have to listen to these stories. He didn't stop. He worked hard, learned to tune his voice and play instruments until he succeeded. That's the kind of rigor we admire and expect at Les Diamants and in good to great companies. Okay. So I want to be very, very crystal clear. Only the committed thrive. Only the committed are hired in good to great companies. Why? Because they don't want to, what is it called? Hatchet? You know when the hatchet man comes in? And those companies, they don't want to do that. They want to make sure everybody thrives. So we're here to make a difference, to work with passion, and to support each other. And in a world of multi-level marketing or any good to great company, being rigorous means preparing to make a significant difference. Nobody does it for the money. In good to great company, nobody does it for the money. It is the consequence of wanting to make an impact, you know, and wanting to bring other people to the next level. So when we leave, they continue to thrive. So with no further ado, being able to take notes, here's Dr. Melody Miller.
Thank you, Maria. And when Marie-Pierre and I were reading this last night, we actually said, if you want a better visual, that Maria, and I think myself in some respects too, we use 2x4s, but we would never use an axe. So this is a visual for you. Okay, so yesterday we talked about people having a good work ethic. And to work at a good to great company sounds as though it would be really hard work. And it is, but it's rigorous work, not ruthless work. So what is the difference? Ruthless means that there's a lot of hacking and cutting and firing people with no real thought of consideration. Whenever a cost saving is required, their first thing to think of is to let people go. Let them go because then our bottom line would be good. In a rigorous company, your principles are always upheld. And the people who are doing well in their jobs will never have to worry about losing their position. Any cost savings and things like that are required are worked out as a process change before any thoughts of letting people go. Collins writes in his book about the acquisition of Crocker Bank by Wells Fargo Bank in 1986. This was an acquisition, not a merger. Now, the difference is an acquisition buys a company to make good use of the assets and the advantages that that company brings them. And in the case of Wells Fargo and Crocker, that meant a lot of new branches, a lot of new customers. A merger is when two companies come together to try and make a company stronger. So Wells Fargo, they had an acquisition of Crocker. Crocker was a company that was completely old-fashioned. They had a dining room for the executives with their own chef. They were using a bone china costing $500,000 at that time to eat their food. This was not the culture of Wells Fargo, who had fine-tuned their business so that everybody was doing their jobs appropriately in a hard-working manner with no massive perks just because you had a title. So what happened when they merged was that Wells Fargo actually decided on day one to terminate most of the Crocker management. And that might sound like it was ruthless, but actually, when you join a company, and it's happened to me a few times in my life, you wonder all the time, am I going to be let go? Am I going to lose my job? And it can go on for months and months. So what Wells Fargo did is they said, we know these people are not going to have our culture. So actually, we're going to let most of them go straight away. In some cases, they actually saw managers that looked as though that they would be better than their own. So they let their own manager go, always keeping in mind that they wanted the culture of Wells Fargo company to survive. So it seemed like it was really harsh, but it wasn't ruthless. It was rigorous. They wanted to have people that would be conforming to the Wells Fargo way of doing things. Wells Fargo, in fact, were one of the banks with the least amount of redundancies when once all the deregulation happened in the banks in America. And they made rigorous decisions about their top management all the time. Is this person still conforming to our style? And of course, they had the right people on the bus. So there were rarely any situations where they were letting people go who were part of their management structure. The good to great companies rarely used letting people go as part of their strategy. 6 of the 11 good to great companies recorded 0 layoffs from the time 10 years before the breakthrough date, right up until 1998. 4 others reported only 1 or 2 layoffs. So really the only company, and it was through acquisition, that had layoffs was Wells Fargo. In comparison companies, there was a lot more of this going on. And in fact, in some companies, using layoffs was like a chronic condition. And every time they had a problem, they would do a layoff. When we were reading this yesterday with Marie-Pierre, when I was reading yesterday with Marie-Pierre, I was wondering, what is the relevance of this to an MLM company? It's true that MLM companies are headed by a corporate entity. And certainly at our own corporate office, we have witnessed the laying off of people. But what is great for us, the people on the shop floor, if you like, is that we continue doing what we do, whoever is in head office. Within the structure of our MLM, we have a business leader. Each of them has risen through the ranks of being a consultant, a manager, to star manager, eventually reaching the situation where they may be offered the opportunity to be a business leader. The great thing about being an MLM is no two business leaders are alike. No two business leaders have the same size of company. No two business leaders give the same support or the same style. Each company has its own character. For an MLM to work, it requires hard work with consistent effort. What does that mean? That means you have to have rigor. You have to be somebody who can work consistently and hard. We never let people go because in an MLM, because they are not ours to let go. Even though they are part of a business leader's downline, every person in an MLM is an individual company. However, due to the nature of the business, only the rigorous and committed survive. So what happens? People let themselves go. They make the decision that they cannot do what is required to be in success. Often they will blame the business or the recruiter or the director, but ultimately they are the ones that let themselves go. So for me, this was a big revelation. So we don't let people go, they let themselves go. And our business survives with the people who are rigorous and are able to do the hard work that is required. And I say hard work, but I don't mean difficult work, just hard work, just consistent work. So next week, we're going to look into some of the disciplines needed to be rigorous. But now I'm going to hand you over to Marie-Pierre, who I'm sure has a quiz for us.
Absolutely. We have a quiz this morning. Because when I was doing my research about this subject, I realized that being rigorous, it's not just at work, but it's everywhere and everything that we do. Like Maria always said, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So rigorous and or ruthless, it's everywhere too. So being rigorous will be that you're methodical, that you are detailed, that you are considerate in your action. And if you are ruthless, it's going to be that you are being harsh or maybe at the expense of other people's feelings. So the quiz this morning will help you with the everyday scenario to help you understand your typical behavior to see how you lean toward being rigorous. So let's start with question number one. You can answer A, B, or C today in the comments, or you can answer on a piece of paper if you want. The idea is to be really honest with yourself when you are doing those quizzes. So number one, it's when a friend would frequently cancel plans at last minute. How do you address this? A, I express my feeling and seek to understand their reason. B, I confront them harshly about their unreliability. Or C, I ignore the issue but secretly feel upset. And I have to tell you, yes, when we are preparing for an event, we already know they say yes, but they will not be there. So you don't want to be that person. But sometimes when you don't understand what are the reasons, we just feel, okay, it's going to be a no, even if they say yes. But when you understand, sometimes it will change that. Question number two. Your child is struggling with schoolwork. How do you help? A. I sit down with them to understand the problem and look for a solution together. B. I insist that they work harder and spend more time studying. Or C. I hope they figure it out on their own. I'm too busy to help. Question number three. When discussing a controversial topic with your friends, you disagree with the group, so how do you handle it? A. I calmly present my view and listen to theirs. B. I falsely argue my point, trying to persuade them to my side. Or C. I stay silent, avoiding conflict. Question number four. You are sharing a meal with friends and the last piece of pizza is left. What's your move? A. I offer it to others before taking it if no one else wants it. B. I quickly claim it for myself without asking. Or C. I don't take it even if I want it to avoid seeming greedy. And last question, question number five. You and your partner disagree on the movie to watch. How do you resolve this? A. We take turns choosing the movie each time we watch. B. I insist that my choice is better than his. Or C. I always let them choose to avoid disagreement. So now, did you have mostly A's, mostly B's, or mostly C's? So if you have mostly A, your approach is rigorous. So you handle situation thoughtfully and considerately. So seeking fair and balanced outcomes. So you value methodical and ethical action in your daily life. If you have mostly B's, your approach is ruthless. So you often prioritize efficiency and your own needs, sometimes at the expense of others' feelings. So it can be ineffective, but it might strain your relationship. And if you have mostly C, you tend toward a non-confrontational approach. So you may avoid conflict and decision-making, which can sometimes lead to passive resentment or lack of fulfillment in your interaction. So if you want to work on that, first, you want to practice active listening. Show genuine interest in other people. Two, develop your empathy. Number three is to communicate clearly and respectfully. Number four, you want to compromise when it's possible. And the last one, you want to reflect on your decision. So consider the impact of your action on other people and strive for improvement that will enhance both personal and collective well-being. So I really hope that with this quiz, you have an idea of what is your typical behavior and what you want to be and become the best version of yourself. So on that, I wish you a beautiful day, a beautiful weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.